Well, I'd like to just say amen to the message that we have heard this morning. You know, I read a while back that the average attention span now is like 8 or 9 minutes. And after about 9 minutes, people lose interest. Well, I didn't lose interest in that sermon. And I hope the Lord will bless me this morning to be able to preach in a way that will hold your attention, and hope you'll continue to pray for me. Verse 8 there in Luke chapter 5, where Brother Luke was preaching to us, captured my attention. After this great catch of fish, after not catching anything all night, Simon saw it. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You know, one evidence that you and I have that we have seen the Lord is that we recognize our unworthiness, our sins. If you, and I suspect that's why you all are here this morning, because you all know you're sinners, and you love Jesus for saving you by His grace, and you're not bored with Him. But until someone is dealt with by the grace of God, they really don't see themselves as sinners. I'm not glad I'm a sinner, but I'm glad I know I'm a sinner. Because that's an evidence that God has dealt with me and has showed me what I am by nature. So Simon, seeing this great and amazing miracle, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, aren't we great fishermen? No. No bragging here. It was an obvious fact that God had blessed them. And I hope everybody here today knows that when you're doing well in life, God is blessing you. You're being favored by God. It's not all you. Y'all agree with that? I want to turn over to Luke 8 this morning. Luke chapter 7. And I want to notice a woman in Luke chapter 7 that obviously God had done a work of grace in her life. Now, there are three miracles recorded for us in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Two of them, I think, would be very obvious as miracles. A centurion, a Roman centurion who had 100 men under him, has a sick servant, and he sends word to Jesus that his servant is sick and ready to die, and would Jesus have mercy and heal him? And Jesus did so. Now, all of you know that's a miracle, isn't it? When somebody who is sick is healed. And wouldn't you like to have that miracle and go to the hospitals here in Middle Georgia and just walk up to the sick and heal them? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That Jesus had that ability. And he gave that gift to his apostles, but that is no longer a gift that we have in the church. We can pray to Jesus for the sick, and he can still heal them, but we don't have that power to just heal somebody as Jesus did or the apostles. So that was one miracle, healing this centurion's servant. And then later, Jesus Christ comes up on a funeral procession. A widow has lost her only son in death, her only child. And they're taking him to bury him. And Jesus stops the funeral procession and resurrects this young man. Would you agree that's a miracle? That was some miracle, wasn't it? Jesus came face to face with the last enemy, which the Bible says is death, and Jesus conquered it by raising him up from the dead. Those are two miracles recorded in Luke chapter 7. To raise somebody that's sick from their sickness is a miracle. To raise somebody from death would even be a greater miracle. But there's another miracle in Luke 7 that I want to focus my attention on this morning. And I believe it's the greatest miracle recorded in the 7th chapter of Luke. Later in the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. This was Simon the Pharisee, a wealthy man, who invited Jesus to come into his house and eat with him. And he went in to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. So here is Simon the Pharisee, and the Pharisees had been very critical of Jesus, but this Pharisee is inviting Jesus into his house for a meal. And while they're having the meal, verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. And I think the context would indicate that she was a prostitute. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he said within himself, saying, this man, Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. I want y'all to get this picture in your mind. Jesus is sitting in the house of a wealthy Pharisee by the name of Simon. Now, why Simon has invited Jesus to his house, we're not told. Sounds like a nice thing, you know, to invite Jesus to your house. But he could have been inviting Jesus just out of curiosity because he'd heard of the miracles he'd been performing. Or it could have been so he could be closer to Jesus and find more to criticize him for. We don't really know why Simon invited Jesus to his house. But we do know he did not show Jesus very much, if any, respect. And now he's very critical of Jesus in saying if he was a prophet, he wouldn't let this woman touch him. She's a sinner. She's unclean. And Jesus answering said unto him, now beloved, you and I need to watch what we think because Jesus knows what you think. I don't. And y'all don't know what I'm thinking, and that's a good thing. Aren't you glad God created us in a way that our thoughts are private? Can I get a witness? Aren't y'all glad there's not a little screen over your head printing out every thought you have? We wouldn't even want our thoughts known at church, always. But Jesus knew this man's thoughts. He's saying within himself, if Jesus was a prophet, he wouldn't let this sinful woman touch him. Well, Jesus knew what he was thinking. So Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. Now get this picture in your mind. Here is somebody who has loaned money to two different men. One, he loaned 500 pence, And I've read where a pence was a day's wages. I can't confirm that. But let's say it was. He loaned one man 500 days of wages. That'd be a lot of money. And the other, he loaned him 50. And when they had nothing to pay, now get that, both of them are broke. They've got nothing to pay. The creditor frankly forgave them both. How would y'all like to have a creditor like that? Just forgive you of all your debts. Wouldn't be bad, would it? Well, he frankly or genuinely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, now Jesus is talking to Simon the Pharisee, this proud, arrogant Pharisee. Jesus says to him, after he shares this story, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? The one that's forgiven 500 or the one that's forgiven 50? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, now get this picture. Jesus is looking at Simon. Jesus is looking at the woman and talking to Simon. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. See, it was a common custom or tradition in Israel that when you had a guest come to your house, you gave them water to wash their feet with. They wore sandals. Their feet would be dirty and dusty from the road. And you would give them water at the door of the house to wash their feet. Jesus says, I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. The Bible tells us a woman's glory is her hair. She puts her glory at Jesus' feet and dries his feet with her hair. Thou gavest me no kiss. You've probably seen on the news where Middle Eastern men will greet one another with a kiss on this side and a kiss on this side. That was a custom in Jesus' day. And Jesus says to this Pharisee, thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she hath loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now the third miracle that I see in this chapter is the broken spirit of this woman. Her humility. Her recognition that she's a sinner. That is a miracle. Do y'all understand this morning that by nature you and I don't really recognize our sinful condition? We look on others and see their shortcomings, their failures, but we don't see our own. The Pharisee, sitting and looking at all this, looks down on Jesus. This woman is a pitiful streetwalker, a prostitute, a sinner, and you let her touch you? What kind of man are you? But the woman, look at her now. She's brokenhearted. She comes in weeping because she's a sinner. And she bows and washes his feet with her tears and dries them with her hair and worships him. I want to tell you, beloved, that is a miracle. Man by nature doesn't do that. Man by nature thinks of himself very highly. And we tend to look down on others. But you see, once you see the Lord in His glory, like Simon Peter did when they caught all those fish, he knew right then he was in the presence of God. You know what he did? He said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinner. I'm an unclean man." Now that was not a wise prayer, because you don't want Jesus to depart from you, right? You want to get as close to him as you can. But Peter felt like he was unworthy to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you know that you're a sinner and that you know that you're unworthy of going to heaven when you die, but you have been blessed with an eye of faith to see Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you humbly come to this house this morning, broken in spirit and yet desiring to bow at His feet and worship Him, I want to tell you, that is a miracle. I can't change people like that. My mama and daddy couldn't change me and make me love the Lord and recognize that I was a sinner. They couldn't do that. As good as they were, they couldn't teach me that. But Jesus taught me that when I was a young boy. I told y'all what Annie Merle out in Allentown said when she saw me after many years. She said, "They tell me you're preaching now." And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I couldn't believe it." She said, "You were the meanest boy on our school bus." And she was not exaggerating. I'm not proud of that. I'm ashamed of it. But I can tell you, I was a sinner. I was vile. I was on my way to destruction in this world. But God, by His amazing grace, arrested me, captured me, and opened my eyes to see that I was a wretched sinner. When I joined this church at the age of 15, I joined in a flood of tears, because I felt unworthy to be a member of God's house. I want to tell you, that's a miracle, folks. That's amazing. Are y'all getting what I'm saying this morning? Now, if you come here this morning thinking, "Brother Sam, I'm as good as anybody and better than most," something's not right with you. Either you haven't been touched by God's grace, or you've hardened your heart to think that you're better than you really are. See, Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus into his house. But he didn't bow at Jesus' feet. He didn't wash him. He didn't kiss him. He didn't honor him in any way. He just sat there and criticized Jesus. But this woman, now I believe she's quit her profession. There's evidence that she's been a changed woman. And let me tell you, if you're involved in willful sin today, you need to repent of it, right? And come to our Lord Jesus. But I want to tell you, this woman has already been saved by the grace of God. Only grace could change this woman. We all love "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound. How many of y'all love that song? Come on, folks. Are y'all with me? I saw a few hands go up. Listen to what John Newton said, "Amazing Grace." It is amazing. When I was a boy, my daddy loved that song. We just about sung it every service. To me, it was a boring song, Brother Luke. It wasn't a foot patting song. It didn't have a chorus. You know, just a simple little music. But my daddy loved it. One day, God opened my eyes to see how amazing God's grace is. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved what? A wretch like me. See, John Newton was a slave driver. He would buy slaves in Africa, bring them across the Atlantic Ocean in the bottom of ships and sell them like animals. He was a wicked man. John Newton, it is said that his profanity in the taverns of England was so bad, even the harlots would blush. He was a wicked man. You think a preacher could change him? No way. But I can tell you about somebody that could, and that's Jesus Christ. And he went on to write what I call the national anthem of the Primitive Baptist Church, Amazing Grace. You know, I mentioned that one time at Vestavia. I said, let's sing our national anthem. Brother Lark looked at me and said, what are we going to sing the national anthem? I wasn't talking about the national anthem of the United States, although I love that song. But let me tell you, our national anthem in the old Baptist church is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you know the only way you and I'll ever get into heaven is by God's grace? You know what grace is? It's unmerited favor. It's something you don't deserve. You don't earn it. It's just given to you. Am I getting this over to anybody in the house today? Come on, folks. Amazing grace. You know, in that song, he said, 'Tis grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. God showed me my sins, and I thought, if I died today, surely hell would open up and swallow me. That's what I deserved. I feared. But then, one night, Elder Darty was preaching on Isaiah 53 about all of our iniquities were laid on Jesus. And he bore them in his own body. And God opened my eyes that night to see Jesus as my Savior. And let me tell you, I left that night about 2 feet off the ground. Have y'all ever been blessed to see Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, to see Him as Creator is enough, but to see Him as our Savior. See, you and I were on our way to hell, and God loved us enough that He sent His own Son down here and died for us on the cross and paid our sin debt in full. Now, Jesus is asking this Pharisee a question. He said, you know, a man, He loaned money to two people. One of them he loaned 500 pence. One he loaned 50. And they were both broke. Neither one of them could pay. And so Jesus says, which one of these that's been forgiven would love him the most? And Simon said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. Now let me tell you, a lot of people will read that and think, well, Simon was not much of a sinner, but the woman was a big sinner. I don't think that's what he's talking about. She had sins of the flesh, which was awful. I understand that. But this man was sins of the heart. And his sins were as great as her sins. But she recognized her sins, and she loved him the most. If this morning in preaching I could help you all to see what a wretched sinner you and I are, I think we'd love Him more after we leave here today. What about y'all? Y'all love Jesus Christ. Do you really love Him? Don't go around being a Pharisee and a judge. See, Jesus said to these Pharisees, He said, y'all keep the outward part of the cup clean, but inwardly it's dirty. He said, y'all are like whitened sepulchres. That is, whitened tombs. You're white on the outside, but full of dead men's bones. See, there was a time in Paul's life, when he was Saul of Tarsus, that he was proud. Oh, he was arrogant. He gave his pedigree. You know, he said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was circumcised on the eighth day. My family got it right. I got perfect, almost perfect genes in me. Oh, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. But when he saw Jesus, you know what he said? You remember what he said? He said, all those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So when we come to church here, you know why we're here? We're here to worship somebody that loved us with a perfect love. He loved us more than our mama loved us. He loves us more than our daddy loves us. He loved us with a perfect love, and He came down here from heaven and lived a perfect life and bore our guilt, our sins on the cross, took our place, and with His precious blood, He washed all our guilt away. I think I told y'all a while back, I was in Statesboro recently, and there was a little boy in the back of the church who kept selecting songs. Nobody else could hardly select one. But this little boy, he loved singing. And he just, we'd sing one song he selected, then he'd select another. It was the pastor's grandson, and the granddaddy was getting a little aggravated with it. Finally, he selected nothing but the blood of Jesus. And his granddaddy looked over at me and said, well, his theology's right. How many of y'all understand today? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. How many of y'all really understand that? The only way you and I are going to get into heaven is through what Jesus did for us on that cross. Amen. Now, if somebody came to you today, let's say you owed a lot of money and they paid your debt, I bet you wouldn't forget them, would you? I wouldn't. Every time I'd see them, I'd want to go up and say, thank you. But the debts of this, if you owed $1 billion and somebody forgave you, that wouldn't compare to what God has forgiven us. Because we were in debt in a way that couldn't be imagined. We were going to hell, and Jesus paid it all. Years ago, I heard about a young boy who was working on a freighter on the Mississippi Ocean. And I'm the Mississippi River. It's almost an ocean. And one day he called everybody up on deck. And he said, they said, what's going on? He said, I want y'all to see the man coming down the river on that other boat. They said, what about him? Oh, he said, he's a captain. They said, well, we see captains every day. He said, yeah, but let me tell you about this one. When I started working on the Mississippi, I couldn't swim. And one day I fell off the boat and I was sinking. And that man yonder was my captain, and he pulled off his coat and he pulled off his boots and he jumped in and saved me in the nick of time. And he said, every time I see him, I like to point him out to people. That's why I'm up here this morning. I'm trying to point out to y'all the man that saved me. Jesus Christ. I wish I could do a better job of it. I pray the Holy Spirit is helping y'all to understand what I'm talking about this morning. Beloved friends, Jesus Christ. You see, you say, well, Brother Sam, I just don't think I'm that bad. Well, let's go over to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, we know what he was by nature. He was a persecutor, but he was a Pharisee. He thought he was better than most people. But when God's grace comes to him in chapter 3 of Ephesians, let's read it. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Listen to what Paul says. He says, unto me, who am less than the least. How do you get to be less than the least? The least, you know, if you start at 5 and you go down to 4, 4 is less than 5. 3 is less than 4. 2 is less than 3. 1 is less than 2. But you get down there and you're at the bottom. How can you get to be less than the least? You say, I didn't come over here this morning to be insulted by a preacher. Well, I'm here to tell you what. You and I are wretched sinners by nature. We are. And that's what makes the gospel of grace so sweet. And now Paul is saying, I'm less than the least. And I'm going to tell you, when a church family keeps that in mind. You can't divide them. You can't divide humble people. Did you know that? When people in the church, and church people can get proud, they can get high-minded, they can have a big head, they can think, man, I'm something. I want to tell you, when we are all humble like we should be, pride is a dangerous thing. I heard the other day about a lion. You know, he'd come up on a creature in the forest, and he'd growl at him and say, "Who's the king of the forest?" And that little animal would say, "The lion." He'd come up to another one and growl and say, "Who's the greatest?" And they would say, "Oh, you are, Mr. Lion." He comes up to an elephant and says, "Who's the greatest?" And the elephant just picks him up with his trunk and throws him into a tree. And the lion said, "Look, fella, just because you don't know the answer." You know, there's a lot of people who just carried away with themselves. I want us to behave, but I want to tell you, you need to know that without God's grace, His amazing grace, we'd all be lost. You know what would be the best thing in the world for America right now? If our nation as a whole would just humble themselves. Wouldn't that be something? God said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves." The governor of Tennessee said a while back that pride and power, that's a dangerous combination. We need powerful men in our country, but we need powerful men who are humble, not arrogant. I'm going to tell you, this guy who just went up for 4 minutes into weightlessness, well, that was an expensive ego trip, wasn't it? Y'all did hear about that in the news. I don't even remember the guy's name. I know he'd be hurt with me if I don't remember his name. Went up there, no telling what it cost him, for 4 minutes of weightlessness. No telling what he could have done with that money otherwise. I want to tell you, men are prone to be proud. Prone to be proud. God said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves." You say, "Brother Sam, as good looking as I am, as smart as I am, as wealthy as I can't be humble." Well, just work at it a little while. Get on your knees and realize just how blessed you are. You know, there was a well-known actor a while back. He was speaking to a group, and he said, "When you go to bed at night, push your slippers way up under the bed. So when you get up in the morning, you have to get on your knees to get your slippers. And while you're down there, just begin to thank God." I like that, don't y'all? How many of y'all start the day out just saying, "Thank you, God"? My friend Andy Anderson, who fell the other day visiting his old army buddy, he fell right out of the door. Wasn't aware the step was, a fell and hit the concrete. Busted his head. His knee cap is cracked. He's in bad shape. He said, "Brother Sam, I was so thankful it didn't knock me out." He said, "I was so thankful it didn't hurt me any worse than it did." Now, if you've got a stinking attitude, and there's a lot of stinking attitudes in this world, stinking thinking, you'd have thought, "Now, why did God let this happen to me?" He got up praising God. He wasn't hurt any worse than he was. Come on, folks. Let's recognize how blessed we are. I don't know how to tell you if you don't already know it. If you were born in America, you hit the jackpot. I've been to Africa a lot. I've seen people walk miles to church barefooted to worship God. We drive up here to Cool Springs in nice, comfortable automobiles. And if the air conditioner shouldn't be working, if we don't watch out, we'd have a bad attitude. God said, "I want y'all to humble yourselves and pray." So you can't even pray till you get humble. And then He said, "Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways." That's what America needs more than anything else. That's what we need. Our country's in trouble, folks. And you and I need to humble ourselves and start calling on somebody that can really do something. for this country. Then God said, I'll hear from heaven four things. He said, I want four cords. You know, that makes harmony, doesn't it? If you do these four things, I'll do three things. I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins. I'll heal your land. If you've got children or grandchildren today, you want them to be able to grow up in a good America, don't you? Not be exposed to all this wickedness. I told my friend, I said, now when I watch these old movies from the 40s, you know, that was called the golden age of Hollywood. Now about all they produce is filth and trash. Not decent for a hog to look at. And yet that's what our young people are consumed with. Let me tell you, folks, let's all, if just us right here at Cool Springs this morning would humble ourselves and pray, there's no telling what would happen. So let's stop talking about everybody else, gossiping and all that, and let's just look at, you want to see your worst enemy? One brother pointed at himself. That's right. Just look in the mirror. There you are. That's the biggest problem you and I've got. How many of y'all know that? Come on now. Are y'all listening to me? You may be thinking, but I ain't going over to hear that preacher anymore. He just gets up there and insults me. I'm talking about me. If I look in the mirror, I see Sam's biggest problem. And I need to be working on me with God's help. If y'all are here today and you love the Lord and you've been able to see Him as your Savior, I want to encourage you to join the church and come humble. Don't come thinking, well, boy, y'all hit the jackpot today. I'm joining. No, if you join, we want you to come humbly, loving Jesus. And may your love for Him just grow and grow and grow. Thank you.